6:59, 97.5 The Fanatic, as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. We have one line dropped during the commercial break. We go 25 minutes commercial free. If you want to jump in, 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic with Tyler Zuli. Tyler has been silent. We'll get to him and hear what he has to say about all of this in general, because it is a heavy thing. DeSean Jackson is the main topic, but it, of course, will evolve into different things like Joe and I have been talking about. You know, Black Lives Matter, of course, and DeSean speaking about that during the last couple of weeks and all of the good that he may have done for himself during that time, taken away just like that when you make put out a post that maybe you did not, you weren't well versed on, you did not understand exactly what was out there. And I say it again that, you know, I really believe that DeSean Jackson, not sticking up for him, just simply pointing out that I don't believe that he, as I was saying, friend of mine simply put, he got ahead of himself when he was reading what he was reading and then deciding to share it with everyone else. I agree with that. I agree with that. And, but it doesn't make him right. It makes it foolish that you didn't fully understand and do your homework with everything that was out there. And now he's going to have to pay the consequences for his actions. The apologies are already out there. Many don't believe his apology to be forthright and real coming from him. And again, it's tough when these things happen, when people apologize, because you're like, all right, he was forced to apologize. And then when he does apologize, he's forced to apologize. He does apologize. Then the people say, well, I didn't like the apology when he apologized. And if he was sincere or not about it, do we know him well enough to know if his apology was real? If you wanted to be on his side 2 days ago, he then goes and likes an Instagram post from Dr. Umar Johnson stating that, why is it that black men always have to apologize for what they say when others don't even have to apologize for what they've done? That doesn't make him look good either in this particular case, because it's as if the apology now wasn't real. You just did it just to do it, to save face, instead of actually meaning what you say when you say you are sorry for what you did. I wish that he just came out and said, for better, you know, we had a caller that was on hold that said DeSean Jackson was dumb. You just wish he would have came out and said, I didn't know what I was saying. Something. You know, just take it on the chin right away. Apologize for it. Say you want to do better. All of that stuff. Because you do that and then you follow up 2 days later or a day later, 2 days later, actually, and like a post like this one, and that's hashtag we stand with DeSean Jackson, then it all just kind of goes in the garbage for a lot of people.
I mean, I feel like people generally, I'm not one who like cuts into people's apologies or not, because how do you know? Like, some people are more comfortable speaking with others. We don't know if this is the fourth or fifth time that he's trying to get all of his thoughts out and he's
recording, right?
We have no idea,
right? We record stuff and it takes us 2-3 takes.
Yeah, sometimes. Right. That's right. Not you, but, no, but certainly me.
Not you.
But like, what we're looking for is broad stroke stuff, right? You don't need to have like some kind of massive explanation for what happened. If you're DeSean Jackson, you say, man, what a stupid thing to say. Like, please don't think that I'm a hateful person, because I'm really not. But I just didn't really process what I was saying. And the more that I've learned about it, the more I see how stupid it was for me to say something like that. So I'm really sorry to my teammates and the fans and the league and the Jewish community. I'm going to work to educate myself so I don't make a stupid mistake like that again. Like, we're not looking for anything crazy. Like, if we're going to say, oh, DeSean Jackson couldn't have possibly known what he was saying, then say that. That was such a stupid thing to say. And then just move on. Like, we are very, generally speaking, we want you to apologize. But after that, we're a pretty forgiving culture right now. We're a culture, generally, if you apologize, it's like, all right then. Let's move on and find the next person to make them apologize. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. That one was, you can't do this than liking what Dr. Umar Johnson says. And when a lot of people who figure out, again, who Dr. Umar Johnson is, and some of the things that he said in the past, and then people are really, because they're going to do their work before they speak on Dr. Umar Johnson, and then it's not going to look good for Deshaun again. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Bobby and Ardmore next on the Fanatic. Bobby. Yo, Bob. All right, Bobby's not ready. We will move on, and we go to Nate in West Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
Hey, listen, man, I enjoy y'all conversation, man. You guys are very, very knowledgeable. But listen, I don't want to be blind, and I'm not trying to be Deshaun's lawyer. But I need to ask a question. If you don't mind, I know it hurt a lot, but what was the exact comment that he made?
Say that again.
What was the exact comment that he said?
I have to go back and read the entire thing. Joe, do you have it
available? Just part of it. I mean, you said Hitler was involved. What was that?
Yeah, so I want to make sure I say it right because I don't now want to be quoted as saying something wrong.
Fully understood.
Yeah,
fully
so
understood.
That's why I'm not answering exactly. I should have had the post up. The basic one that he points at is, "They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were."
Okay, and he said a quote or something about Hitler, right?
Hitler.
Yeah, the first two words are Hitler said.
Yes, Hitler said, and that's part of it, yes.
Well, and from what I'm reading here, it did say, and I guess it depends upon whom they're speaking of, because it did say, "America has stolen the Jews of God. His jewelry, the Negroes, they are the true Hebrews." So now you got something that's been blown way out, like, which Jews are we talking about? You see what I'm saying? Because Hitler, yes, they just quote this and said that they're the true Israelis or Israelites. So right there, this could go on forever. You see what I'm trying to say? I understand what Edelman said.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was mighty nice of what Edelman said and wanted him to see that. But if Deshaun is looking at this and that fashion of what Hitler said, knowing why he had this war with the Jews because he felt as though the original Jews were black, well, then you got a whole nother debate going on there.
True. Here's the thing, though, Nate. Here's the thing, though. When it comes to, I think for a lot of people, first of all, again, it's the first one that's up there, which is Hitler, right?
Precisely.
It's Hitler. And that's the thing. That's where a lot of people, why are you quoting him? Right. And that's where a lot of people are going. Whether the message, to your point, is exactly what you're saying, Nate,
right,
no one wants to hear from it being Hitler that you're speaking about when you want to quote this. Like I said, if it was Nate and West Philly who said this, maybe there's a little bit of backlash, but not as much as your name is not going to have as much stain on it as Hitler's name is.
Right. I was shocked simply behind the fact that I'm looking at Hitler as being a person in fame, but yet I'm also looking at what made him sit back and say something like this, or the knowledge that he gathered from all the information of the people.
Are you talking about Deshaun or Hitler?
I'm talking about Hitler. From the knowledge that he gained from all the people he was prosecuting, that it was sad. And you knowing this and you still prosecuted others? That's what's so confusing.
Well, what's not confusing is I can't sit there and say, listen, I'm sure he was. I can't back anything that he had to say. Nate, listen, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. I can't back anything Hitler had to say, understanding where he was coming from. And you might be right, Nate, but when you do this, you have to, once again, you have to understand, right? Why you have to understand this. You have to understand that you can't interject something that man said and expect it to be okay. Especially when you're trying to preach something about a movement going on right now, as Black Lives Matter, the movement, everything that's happening. You can't then follow that up and think that, like Joe's last call on Tuesday said, it doesn't matter what Deshaun said, everything was going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. Look at it. It's right in front of us right now. It's not okay.
It's worth noting, too, that I don't know. I haven't pored over all of Hitler's writings, obviously. But most people who have are saying that this is not even an actual Hitler quote, that it's misattributed to Hitler. So, like, the second level thing that people are wondering is, well, what in the world is Deshaun Jackson reading? You know what I mean? Like, what information is he digging into?
I actually saw where it was that he got all this. Someone did a whole thread on having to go through it, figuring out where Deshaun got this. It's my bad for not saving it, but someone broke it all down. But go ahead. Sorry.
So, like, that, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where it came from. That sounds like it comes from a place of anti-Semitism. Like, it's that book, that document sounds like inherently, especially if it is a misattributed Hitler quote, right? Mm-hmm. It seems to me that Deshaun Jackson is reading stuff that is, like, by design, anti-Semitic. Now, I think that more information is always better than less. I think that you should consume all that you can so you can take the good ideas and the bad ideas and figure it out. But I think that that is an element where people who are reacting strongly, it's not just the content of the message. It's not just that Hitler said this. It's that, well, Hitler didn't actually say this, and that it's from someone else. So, like, what kind of stuff is Deshaun Jackson getting into now, and how deep do these beliefs run versus, oh, Deshaun didn't know what he was doing? Like, that's where the two, like, forces are at battle right now.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, man. It's just me. He's reading something, of course, that's trying to, I guess, enlighten him and more educational on things, but just know what you're putting out there when you put it out there. At the end of the day, I don't believe he knew exactly what he was putting out there. I don't. That's just me. Some people agree. Some people won't. I'm not making an excuse. That's me. He has to take again what is coming to him. I don't believe he fully understood what he was putting out there. I don't.
So, and to your point, D, like,
and that's not being dumb. That's not being stupid. That's just not further educating yourself and understanding that what you're about to put out there and share could be something that is going to come back on you and is problematic, and it can really light a flame under a lot of things for you and the entire country right now of what you put out there. I don't believe he really understood what he was putting out there. As my friend pointed out, he got ahead of himself with whatever he was reading. He knew wherever the author of the book was, it was coming from that. I know who this is, but in this part, he might have understood who Hitler was, but not understanding fully who Hitler was.
Well, and the equivalent, I talked to somebody that I know and trust information on how they feel about this, who's of Jewish descent.
Okay.
And they said, I can understand almost how he wouldn't understand, like, forget the Hitler, the actual text being anti-Semitic. Because, like, that is something that people who are watching out for anti-Semitism, Jews world domination, Jews stealing identity, that's what, those are things that are, like, definitionally anti-Semitic, right?
They see it.
And he said the equivalent would be if a black person thought that the only way that someone could be racist against them is by talking about slavery or segregation. Like, those are not the only two ways that people could say evil stereotypes against African Americans, right? So, like, right. It's about identifying what it is that is problematic about what you're saying. And, that, like, that's what the hard part is.
610-632-0975. Jay in West Philly checking in with us next on The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Yo, what's going on, dude?
What's up, man?
What's up, Tori? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, Tori, when you're saying in the world we live in now, right? Is that what you're trying to say? You should be suspended or cut for? Are you saying you can't understand why you would still be on the team?
So basically what I said is, with the awareness that we've had of social justice and how it has gotten to the forefront of our conversation, it's on every single newspaper, every single cable news site, everything else. It's the number one thing. It was not getting the attention in 2013 that it is today.
Okay, so you're saying nationally and world, I mean, everybody else wasn't getting their attention.
Correct. Yeah, right. The perception of it and how
it's not a perception, it's a reality that we've lived with for years, just because it's opened to your eyes. Now, I heard a lot of people saying, oh, now the world we live in now, I've been living this now my whole life. So for people to say he should be cut and it's so hurtful, when Riley Cooper got sent away for a weekend and got an extension after that.
Well, that was bad, right?
He's still on his team.
That was a miss, right? That was a really bad thing that the Eagles did. That's, like, almost my central point, is that, like, they messed that up.
But you want them to cut him now, so the double standard is still being in that.
No, not a double standard. It's that you didn't live up to what the standard should have been in the first place. Because if nothing happens here, the question becomes, What does someone have to say? Who has to say it? And who does the target of the, whatever you want to call it, hate speech have to be in order for some action?
I'm talking about the intent. Like, so intent on his punishment being so much harsher and Riley Cooper's because you're saying the climate that, and this is the word that you're saying, we live in now. If we weren't living in that.
When I'm talking about the climate, I'm talking about how people are the attention that's being paid to it, not necessarily the things that are.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't attention being paid to it before, so you just disregard the fact that attention wasn't being paid to it before.
You heard me say it was wrong.
Yeah, it was wrong. You're just saying it like, oh, by the way, it was wrong. But because now it's being seen worldwide, it's like, oh, well, we can't do this now. I'm telling you, this now that you're talking about we living in, I've been living that my whole life. So
your whole life you've turned on TV and Black Lives Matter has been at the forefront of the national conversation?
No, I'm telling you, I've lived that whole life.
It's two different things.
TV, I've lived that.
No. We're talking about two different things.
I haven't lived that.
I'm not saying you haven't lived it. Can you let me get a sentence out? What I'm saying is that your experience has been there your entire life. There's no question about that. I'm saying that the attention that is being paid to it, the fact that it is being brought to light as it should have been probably back then, but
what
was
you mean,
not.
Probably?
What do you want me to say? I'm telling you that it was a mistake. It was the worst thing that the Eagles did ever. Mm-hmm. That I, as far as I'm concerned, keeping Riley Cooper. I did an entire show on Tuesday
no
about
outrage.
It. There was no outrage.
It was outrage for like a weekend.
I know,
yeah, it was
outrage too for a weekend.
No, it was a full. It was like a full week. No. The weekend is when he disappeared. Jay. The weekend was when he disappeared.
If they cut the Deshaun, I'm done with the Eagles.
No, and listen, we said that earlier, Jay. That it's going to be two sides. If he's kept and if he's cut,
what do you have to say, Jay? What would he have to say in order to get cut?
Who?
Deshaun, what would he have had to have put out there in the universe in order for you to say that he should have been cut?
He shouldn't. He said everybody said was wrong or assumed. I'm talking about the punishment.
So there's nothing.
Do you feel like there should be any punishment?
He shouldn't get more than the 3 days that Riley Cooper got. And if he get a fourth day, if he get a game or something, I'm done.
All right.
I could cancel the birds off my list. I'm done.
All right, Jay. Appreciate the call, man. 610-632-0975. This is what Deshaun Jackson and the Birds have in front of them right now. Joe Torre, Devon Givens, Tyler Zulli producing. 610-632-0975. And one thing that we talked about before the break, Joe, when you mentioned the television coverage and all of that, and you know Jay speaking on it, and you guys going back and forth with it was so like Juneteenth, right? When you say. People didn't know what Juneteenth was.
Mm-hmm,
and,
sure.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know what Juneteenth was. But now it is something that people acknowledge. Companies are giving their employees off for that day. Who knows? It might even become a national holiday. That should have been years ago. Years and years ago. That should have been happened in terms of this holiday. So when it comes to the coverage right now and everything, yes, being on the floor, yes, it should have been there before. It should have absolutely been out there before. The marches that Dr. King had. I remember when I was in college and they did the Million Man March and all of that stuff, right? But never has it, and I wasn't back there in the 60s to know exactly how that was, but knowing... When you see people say this one might have been different when it comes to the coverage that is out there now, it has been long overdue. The coverage has been long overdue. The attention has been long overdue. People are still feeling as comfortable as they are with when we see all these videos now or people going nuts and calling the cops on black people because they're sitting in the car in the front of their houses saying you don't live here and stuff like that. This has been going on. And now we are finally get to see it because, number one, they feel like they can do it. Number two, we're seeing it more, once again, because of the phones and people recording these things. And number three, circling back, that's just who people are. It's not who you and Tyler are. It's who a lot of people are. I know how frustrated Tyler was when this stuff happened when George Floyd was murdered. I know how ticked off you were when George Floyd was murdered. And all the phone calls that we got in all of this, and many people have been embracing what black people have been, you know, trying to put out there right now And then you still have the ones like you make all these great analogies and stuff, and you have these great things that you know, you have this great thing that's going on out there, and you just have that one bad one, that bad apple to just sprinkle in somewhere and try to ruin everything, and saying, you people, right? They go, you people have already had this. Why are you bringing it up now? What do you mean?
Right, yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about? No, that's not true. And as far as like the Holocaust, you brought that up, and I even mentioned when we bring about Juneteenth, we celebrate Jewish holidays.
Sure, yeah. Or at least know of them, right? They're at the right. Forefront of the consciousness, even if you don't observe and you're not Jewish, right?
Right, and then you'll have people who say, well, you get a whole month for Black History Month. Well, whoop-de-doo. Great, thanks. Joe, these are things that are really said. You get a whole month. Well, first of all, it's the shortest month in the year, and it's only one month.
Well, like,
so people go there, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Right? We're never going to win over everybody.
No,
like,
if
there
not.
Are people that are saying you have a whole month, then like these are people that don't get it begin with.
This is real talk.
This is what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't concern yourself with those people, because obviously if you can convert one mind, it's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But like, if that's like the baseline of what we're talking about, that just gets an eye roll, doesn't it?
Look how good people felt when Juneteenth was recognized.
Yeah.
Acknowledged.
You heard me say it during the break.
They really felt good about that.
That's one of the best things America's ever done. Like, it's one of the crowning achievements. It should be a national holiday. Everybody should know exactly what Juneteenth is all about.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Right. And the Holocaust Museum, pardon me, I don't mean to disrespect, Holocaust Museum has been in existence. I learned about it in school. I know you got a call that you guys talked about. A teacher calling in and said it's not taught in the inner city. That's probably right. But in my school, we learned about it. I was taught about it. We talked about it. I talked about it with my dad, stuff like that, right? And I was taught about it in school. I did learn about it. And we went to these museums and go to all these places. And the family, the kids, mom, we talked about taking them to the African-American Museum, Joe, because it was like, yo, this is a big deal. Right? We shouldn't be getting so excited about something like this that should have already happened, but it happens this way. It happens this way. So I understand where Jay is coming from. Again, I think he was wrong in certain spots, but I can't tell him he's wrong because that's how he feels as an individual. He didn't hear everything you were saying because you did point out, listen, I'm not talking about your life and what you've experienced. Of course you've experienced these things, and it's a bad deal. It's a shame. You know, it's a shame that Jay has had to go through. It's a shame that I have had to go. Any black person has had to go through any of this stuff. This is why we're talking about it. This is why Deshaun has made this a big deal. This is why Jay, he might get cut. And then when he goes and likes a post like Dr. Umar's, this is why he might get cut. We got a lot of people that want to talk about this. 610-632-0975. So guys, hang on. Of course, deep conversations. We thought things would be dry when sports went away. Certain spots were. Not really, though. Like the last couple of months. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli. Until 10, right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli. 610-632-0975. The 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit Club Risque. .com. Again, the phone number is 610-632-0975. Before we get to Drew, Al, AC, Mike, Kareem, Tyler, your thoughts on the latest with DeSean Jackson. And if anybody didn't hear, your initial thoughts on everything, where do you stand now?
Yeah, I think that the attribution to Hitler is unacceptable. When you have the ability to take a second and think about what you're going to post or what you're going to say or what you're going to tweet, that's something that has to come to the forefront of your thoughts. I also do believe that I think that there's been some sort of a rift in the social aspect of a lot of the world, because, or at least in our area, because of this post. And there is an ability to support the black community and support Black Lives Matter and also support the Jewish community and understand that the post was hurtful and insensitive. And I think that a lot of people are starting to find a disconnect there, that you seemingly can't do both. And that's just simply not true. You can, it's why I like to believe, I think the word ally is a great word to use when it comes to racial injustices, social issues and things like that, is because being an ally means to help everyone that you possibly can. So I think that there is starting to feel like a divide between the two, and there shouldn't be. You can support both and understand that there is a significant plight in the black community, and there's also a significant plight in the Jewish community. And like, personally, for me, being neither, I can adequately try my best to help both communities have better experiences and a better future, while knowing that DeSean Jackson's post was wrong by attributing it to Hitler, and also knowing that there are racial injustices in the black community. So I just hope that people can recognize that you are able to understand that there are issues on both and support both communities as best you can.
And where do you stand on what, I guess, should happen with DeSean? Because that's a real question at this time.
I think it's a real question at this time. And I know that it is not, you can't compare a past mistake and add an additional mistake on top of that by not reprimanding DeSean Jackson as you didn't reprimand Riley Cooper. But my assumption at this point is what I believe should happen is, there should be, somebody brought this up to Joe and I on Tuesday, there should be some sort of, I guess, policy enacted from this point moving forward, where it's zero tolerance moving forward for social injustices, racial injustices, insensitive posts, insensitive comments, insensitive actions. There should be a zero tolerance policy moving forward. But you cannot, I guess, over punish DeSean Jackson after you've made it a statement that Riley Cooper. I believe that DeSean Jackson should be fined and or suspended, but I don't believe you can cut DeSean Jackson because you put yourself in a corner. From here on out, there needs to be zero tolerance policy. And if someone, regardless of race, color, religion, creed, whatever, does this, immediately cut moving forward.
And you're not saying simply taking away their freedom of speech on social media just if you go this far.
Yes.
Something happens.
Yeah, no, they're all human beings. They're allowed
to say. I've heard where they're like, why you take them away from social media in general. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. No, they're allowed to voice your opinion. Just like you have them stand in front of the media and take questions, they can go on social media and say certain things that they want. Just have to be careful with what they say.
I mean, I view our jobs as, you know, a privilege. Not everybody does, but I think that it's cool that we get to do what we do. We are free to say whatever we want, literally anything. But we also deal with consequences to whatever we might happen to say. You know, and I'm not just talking about necessarily FCC guidelines, but we could say something and our employer could come out and say, that nonsense that Joe is spewing does not espouse the views of the company or whatever, and we've terminated him in favor of somebody who more closely aligns with what we believe. I don't have like a First Amendment defense for that because I'm not going to jail. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I am allowed to express my opinions, and then there's some stuff afterwards that happens. That's kind of my point with all of it with Deshaun Jackson. It's why I don't really see it as a First Amendment thing. The idea of taking away his social media or not allowing to him to express himself is one of the most ridiculous ideas I've ever heard.
Yeah, and it wasn't just him. It was them people saying them, like the athletes in general.
Sure.
Why?
What do you mean?
People do a lot of good. He does good on his social media as well. This one got him in trouble. 610-632-0975. Let's keep it moving on the phones with Drew in Westchester next on the Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Devon. Hey, Joe. Nice to talk to you guys tonight.
What's going on, Drew?
I want to get off Deshaun Jackson. I talked to Joe the other night about my thoughts on that, and I think it kind of echoes what everyone's been saying. But I got still a heavy topic that I think is relevant to discuss, and that's the return to sports and whether it's, you know, with everything that's going on in the world with Corona, with, you know, the Black Lives Matter, with, you know, just culturally what's going on in the world, if it's, you know, if it's a smart decision to return to sports at this time, or on the opposite end, if a return to sports may be what this country needs to try to lift our spirits a little bit and kind of get our minds off of all the, you know, the tragedies and the bad things out there and try to think of some of the good things that we've been missing for so long. So, I know it's a heavy question. It's kind of hard to answer. So I just kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
It is because, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Once I haven't heard them yet, but I'm sure once the NBA players are interviewed while they're in Orlando, everyone's traveling, the Sixers travel today, someone will ask a player probably about Deshaun Jackson and what did they know about it and all of that. And I'm sure the PR people will probably be like, hey, let's just try to stay away from that. But it's going to be tough to silence a lot of people. Getting to a point where this stuff is going to take, right now, athletes don't want this stuff to go away, to take away from. They want that stuff out there to keep that message going. So even with something like this, Drew, if it happens, it's still going to be discussed. I mean, yeah, it might take away for a second, but they're still going to talk about it. People are still going to discuss it. So I don't know. Yes, it will be a little bit of a distraction for a lot of people. The Philadelphia Union got back at it today. A lot of people were tweeting about it, excited about it. Yeah, just seeing some live sports. But
right
that soon as that's over, we're right back where we were.
Yeah, no, I think it's...
And real quick, I know the NBA is going to go from noon until like 11:30 at night. So that might help. In the NHL, the same deal where they have all these games going on. In the Major League Baseball, sure. But right now, I mean, we can't predict it, but maybe so. Maybe so.
No, and I don't think the discussion should go away because, you know, it's very relevant. And, you know, again, I just think that it may help a little bit with just easing some of the tension we're all feeling in the world right now. That's all.
Maybe. There's a possibility. Maybe. There's a possibility.
I'm just hoping, man. I'm just looking for something to heal this world. And if, you know, getting back to some type of normalcy, we're watching sports helps, then, you know, I'm all for it. The thing that scares me is that we're asking these guys, you know, to put their lives and their family lives in jeopardy to play a sport for our entertainment, you know, and that's another, you know.
That's another tough topic, though, when we look at these guys as just go out there and entertain us.
Right. I'm just warriors, you know, like gladiators in some sense.
Like,
you know?
Nah, they don't want to hear that, man. But listen, thanks for the call, Drew. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. We go to AC in West Philly joining us next on The Fanatic. AC, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Nice conversation, gentlemen. Could I offer, since y'all talked about history, one of my favorite books about African-American history is called The Civil Rights Chronicles, The African-American Struggle for Freedom. It was done by Clyburn and Merle Evers Williams. That was the civil rights leader, Eggers Evers' wife. That was his wife who helped us this book. And it's 448 pages. It runs from the history of the 1400s to the 1900s. Very good book. Coffee table book, and you can get it cheap used.
All right, the Civil Rights Chronicles is what it's called.
The African American Struggle for Freedom is a 448-page coffee table book, and it covers African American history from the 1400s to the 1900s.
Okay, all right.
Now, what I wanted to talk about was I think people are missing two points. What Riley Cooper did was criminal. What Deshaun Jackson did was stupid and insensitive. It's a big difference. He threatened using the N-word, African-Americans in general, because remember he said, I will F or fight any N-word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he specifically keyed in on the security guard. So it's a great difference. So when you come and see, this is why we're talking double standard in the community. Again, one was criminal, one was insensitive. So you said a president. If you know, if you go to court, they go by the contract and president. So if the Eagles set a precedent with Riley Cooper where he got 3 days off, they better surely look at that precedent, and I don't care what happens the next time, but this time around, because it was criminal, and people say, and you can look in Seth Williams' indictment, it says the problem with Seth Williams is taking Philadelphia Eagles tickets. They think that because he had those sideline passes, he didn't prosecute two Eagles at least, and I'll add Riley Cooper for three, and that was in his indictment also about taking the free gifts and not reporting it of the Eagles tickets. So I'm not on some fishing expedition. Anything I'm saying, somebody can look up.
And you're talking about the former DA of Philadelphia.
Right. Seth Williams, and this is an actual fact. So I think that's why nobody pursued Riley Cooper for criminal. What he did was outright criminal. So nobody is mentioning that. And I can't believe it. Nobody has mentioned the criminality of what he did. Now, let me tell you a personal story about people talking about the relationships, and I'm not going to pick on any group, between Europeans and African Americans. My father left to fight World War II and go to fight for Germany, Eastern European rights, people in France's rights, people with Churchill in England. He came back. It was a segregated army. He was told me a story, and I didn't believe it. It was raining when he got back to Louisiana in a segregated army. It was muddy. He thought they were going into the barracks since they fought and came home as heroes from World War II. They said, black troops, pitch your tent. White troops go in the barracks. So black people have been given our treasure of our freedom and our lives for years for other people. When they came back, they didn't help us. And when I looked at a picture of my father in the war, it's a panoramic view. The only white person in that picture is the drill sergeant, and I saw the barracks and I saw the tents because I thought he was telling me something that wasn't true. So I hear people talking about all these special relationships, and I'm not going to get into religion, but just keeping it black and white. People came over here and enjoyed freedoms we never enjoyed. And my father died never enjoying it, and he came home with medals. And he graduated from North Carolina A&T, and the only job he could give was a waiter.
Well, listen, AC, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. A little bit of stuff going on there. We let it go for a while, but it was kind of tough to hear. But thanks for the call, and thanks for sharing that story. 610-632-0975. George, you want to address anything AC had to say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, there's...
Cooper and...
Well, so with Riley Cooper, I mean, it's a failure of the legal system. Like, I don't know enough. I would think that that is a threat, which is not protected under the First Amendment. So I would assume that Riley Cooper, like, legal action could have been pursued against Cooper. That's a big miss on the legal system. We're a sports talk radio show. Like, we're not legal experts. So we've been looking at it through the lens of, like, what the Eagles should do. And I also felt the same way there, where not disciplining Riley Cooper, and by disciplining, I mean, like, releasing him. Because when you fine him and then sign him to an extension, you fined yourself. Like, yep. you pretty much paid his fine, right? So, like, it's one of the most embarrassing, shameful moments that I've ever had being aware of who the Philadelphia Eagles organization's been. And there's been so much that the team and the organization has done since then to be leaders in the community, leaders in progressivism and you know, social justice concerns and all those sorts of things that, like, I guess what is so staggering to me is that I thought that just through their actions and who, like, that it was easy to say that that was just a bad decision. It was just a mistake that the Eagles made, that they learned from it and things like that. So, like, that's why I'm watching this with interest, because I don't know, like, is it about making the same decision that you did before when that was, like, the worst decision? Like, that's kind of where the tough part comes down, because you do want to avoid any kind of double standard. Like, you absolutely do. And I think that that's something that we always have to be on the lookout for. So, and hearing about AC's story with his father and everything else, that's what I mean. Like, there's no way that any rational person would say that everybody who has lived, quote unquote, the American experience, the American dream, has had the exact same story to tell. There's no way. There are people just like AC's dad who definitely got the short end of the stick, and it wasn't fair and it wasn't right. So I don't think that there's any person capable of rational thought that would dismiss AC's experience and his father's experience and say, eh, well, you know, that's just the breaks. That's just the way it goes. Like, I think that if you don't have empathy for that, you're either stupid or a monster or not capable of rational thought.
610-632-0975. That, of course, is Joe Torti. I'm Devon Givens. Tyler Zuli with us as well, with you until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. We go next to Kareem in Lansdowne checking in with us on The Fanatic. What's up, Reem?
What's going on?
Reem, what's going on with you?
I'm good, man. Long time no hear from him. Yeah. I think the issue is, I think the perception of how people of color see things, it's ingrained and it goes a long way. For example, when Brett Myers had his domestic violence issue.
Yeah, in Boston.
He was welcomed back and so on and so forth. The current outfield, I forget his name, escapes me now, but it's like he goes away for good and it's all done. I'm not saying, you know, so it's like he should have been sent away, but the perception is, oh, he's a man, a person of color, he's going away for good. Oh, Brett Myers, it's a teaching moment. He, you know, he went to counseling, he got better. Same thing with Roddy Cooper. It's like, oh, he went down and he got some counseling and he's back. You know, when some people with Sean, it sent him away. It's, the perception is, it's always the punishment. It seems to be worse for people of color when it's, you know, white people. It's like, well, they made a mistake. You know, it's a misunderstanding, or they didn't mean it that way. So that's the perception that people of color, like, we always willing to explain why they did something, why they made the mistake, or it's a growing or a teaching moment for them. But for us, it's always a punishable act. And that's the perception we look at it with. And that's why it's two viewpoints. You like, he should be punished, but we can't have the punishment, like, for us cutting in that nature. Like, oh, we didn't go that far with this one, so we're not all of a sudden swinging the hammer. Oh.
Right. And that's where, you know, again, you've been listening, so that's where Joe and I differed, where I said that. And Tyler is with on my side more so than Joe, where we felt like he should be fined, suspended, but not cut. For this. Now, something happened at the end of the season, and that's a, they'll use that as a cap situation, then so be it.
That's
but
different.
Say it again.
That's something different. That's like, you
yeah.
Bring that's, it back at the end of the year. That's
yeah, that, that's totally different. But for right now, I agree with you.
Why is it different, though? Because Riley Cooper got the extension, right? So people would look at it and say, well, how come Deshaun didn't get the extension?
Not the extension in general. It's just the fact that it's always when it's white people, it's like we willing to give them a second chance. We willing to send them away for help. We willing to talk and understand what they meant. But when it's people of color, it's like the punishment is just like you did something wrong and you're gone. So even with the whole thing, when Deshaun got put away the first time, it was that vague gang violence thing they put out there to send them away and all this sort of stuff. But it's like, it's always something. So, like, you could technically be a racist, but we'll keep you. But you got some loose gang affiliation, you're gone. So that sort of thing, that's the viewpoint we see it from.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's very complicated that way.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no easy solutions
Reem,
here.
Thanks for
There's
the call,
no
man.
Way.
Good
There's
stuff.
No way it's an easy solution. Do you think what I said has any merit? That it doesn't just stop with what happens right now? Because Riley Cooper got the extension?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about getting fined or suspended or whatever. It's if he doesn't get the exact same treatment as Riley Cooper, then there's going to be an issue.
And Jay said if he gets a fourth day, he's done with the birds.
Yes.
I don't go as far as Jay. I think he should be fined, suspended. How long should the suspension be? A game.
Sure.
And fine. And he's going to have to do some other things to make sure he goes along and speaks to the Jewish community and speaks to he's spoken to a rabbi already and follow up with Julian Edelman. Yeah, people are going to be ticked off. And you just heard Kareem just laid it out perfectly, though, where the double standard. Brett Myers, we saw Brett Myers years ago when video wasn't really available to us because the boss, the whole Boston thing. And it's like, wait a minute. This dude just almost clocked his wife outside this bar, and you guys are going to just bring her back? And that's okay?
Well, I mean, there was, in addition, there's also a double standard as it relates to the player's usefulness to the team, right? Like, I remember...
Like we talked about, Riley Cooper is not DeShaun Jackson.
Right, but although Chip Kelly thought he was.
But exactly.
Like, so,
but at that time, he was still important to the team.
Right.
None of us ignored that he had a spot on the squad. He was important enough. He wasn't DeShaun Jackson, and in this case... It is like,
but I remember the Steelers years ago had Cedric Wilson and James Harrison charged with domestic violence like in the same month. Do you remember this? And Cedric Wilson gets released because he's like the special teams like fifth wide receiver.
Right, yeah.
James Harrison gets the bag, gets the whole bag. Like so, I mean, there are. I'm not saying that everybody's always treated the same. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm saying that there has always been that being true, that there are different standards for different people. And I don't think that that's right, to be completely honest with you. I get why the decisions get made. If you're like, well, this person sells a lot of jerseys. This guy scores a lot of touchdowns. This guy gets a lot of sacks. I understand that. But I guess if we're all trying to improve and we're all trying to be better and hold ourselves to a higher standard, that's kind of the position that I'm coming from.
And we know that stuff happens. I mean...
Yeah,
how many chances has Josh Gordon gotten?
Yeah, sure.
We know that stuff happens in sports, and Josh Gordon didn't hurt anyone or say anything. His was self-inflicted when it came to failing drug tests. Let's just say.
Well, I mean, even Michael Vick, right? Like, if Michael Vick wasn't Michael Vick, does he get the chance? If he wasn't like one of the most electrifying quarterbacks who's ever, like, he probably doesn't get the chance, right?
No, he doesn't. It's Mike Vick.
It's Mike Vick.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to navigate through. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go to Al next on the Fanatic. What's up, Al?
What's up, Devon?
Yo.
Long time no talk.
I know, man. How you been?
All right. Joe, I think you need to get kind of a clue.
Okay, give me one.
Okay, because it's just like the last couple of calls just said. Why does the brother always have to be twice as good as the white guy?
I think that's messed up. That should not be the case.
Then why are you saying that Sean should get cut?
Because the Eagles made the wrong decision with Riley Cooper.
Okay, so because the Eagles made the wrong decision with Riley Cooper, the brothers should pay the price.
It doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with the fact that they've had...
No, but it does. But that's how everybody else is going to see it. You might not see it that way, but that's the way I see it.
I'm saying that they've had 7 years to think about whether that was the right way to handle that or not. That's what I'm saying.
So the fact that I've been treated like a black man for 58 years, I should stop feeling like I've been treated like a black man?
No, of course not. That has nothing to do with it.
Because this, the last 3 months, everybody's been running around talking about Black Lives Matter?
No, of course not. I would never try to invalidate your experience. Absolutely not.
So what I'm trying to tell you is what you're doing here is, in my opinion, okay, because I do understand this is all about opinions. In my opinion, DeShaun Jackson made a mistake. DeShaun Jackson was not fully aware of what he posted and what he was saying. You keep harping on the fact that he started off the post with Hitler said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But once he first got some backlash from it, he then went back to the post, crossed out that part of it, crossed out some of the parts in the bottom, and tried to highlight what he was trying to say to other black people, right? So
yes.
He was insensitive. What he did was wrong. But I believe that was a mistake.
Not a bad decision.
What Riley Cooper did was done in anger. He did it knowing exactly what he was doing. He did it because he's done it before. And in my opinion, he's probably still doing it now.
We know that he's done it before? It seems that way, but we know that?
No, I don't know that.
No, we don't know.
Neither do I. I don't know that. So I'm not in the mind-reading business.
I'm saying this is my opinion.
Yeah, of course. I got you.
Okay. So now you're telling me that it was what he did in anger and all the rest of that, and he's able to get away with that. Now we should turn around, and just because times are changing and just because we're supposed to be awakening ourselves to the issue of races and all the rest of that, so we now have to go forward 100%, 100% correct. And guess what? Once again, the black guy is the one that pays the price. No, you know what?
I can't say that, Al.
Yeah, that's all good, man. Thanks for the call, Al. Yeah.
Once again, I ask the same question as I've been saying. What could he have said? Like,
you talking about in response?
No, Deshaun, like, what initial thing could he have said that would merit discipline worse than Riley Cooper's? Because if there isn't something, then we're not trying to uphold the same standard for everybody. Like, we're not trying to set a standard of accepting and being inclusive and stuff like that. That's not what it's about. Like, and I'm okay with that, but let's not pretend that that's what it's about. If the case is Deshaun Jackson could literally say anything, no matter how hateful or vile.
I agree with you. I mean, not anything. Yeah, let's get to that on the other side. First, everybody else. We got a couple open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Joe Torre, Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.